Welcome to Across the Desk, where we discuss entrepreneurship, small business, and everything in between. Hey, it's Elizabeth Plouffe, and welcome to Across the Desk. Today is an episode of Ballsy, and Ballsy is a women in business group that I started 2 years ago now, which is crazy pants, and we focus on business building discussions and problem solving and all that kind of great stuff. And last week was Ballsy. That day, I had to leave for Toronto for Spark the Change Toronto, so unfortunately, I'm a little delinquent in my podcasting efforts, but I'd like to share with you the excellent conversation that we did end up having. One of the cool things about Ballsy is that even though we've got a certain number of members, there's a core group that comes out every month, and it's anywhere from 5 to 10 women, and the variety of topics is just astounding, and so it's ended up, it has intentionally morphed into a sort of mastermind situation. And the conversations are really cool. And this week, it was a really diverse conversation. Did include the upcoming pot legalization issue, which is another story altogether. But one heads up from that, if you haven't thought about it already, you really need to investigate your human resources policies and to handle this, because it's a coming. So, what did we start out with? We had a member who was sharing about some eye-opening experiences that she's having in a new industry that she's learning. And the interesting thing was the vast majority of the conversation was driven by the fact that these things that were happening in this industry, and not grossly illegal or anything, but just really weird kind of backdoor stuff, it wouldn't occur to us that went on because that's just not how we function. It's not how we each run our businesses. We all run our businesses very WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. And, you know, greasing the palms and what have you just isn't something that happens. And so one of the things that came up was if you're in a situation where you have a product or service and you have gone into the head office for a chain, we'll say for an example, and you've made this fantastic pitch and you've been successful and head office has said, yes, we must have this. You have sold us your widget and we are really happy and we're going to roll it out to all our stores. You, like us, might assume that the head office has, some kind of understanding of what's going on within the individual stores within the chain. And you may assume that they're making this decision, with a little bit of education about the success of integrating this product or service into the chain. And I would assume that because, that's what you should do as a head office. You should understand the differences in the demographics and the socioeconomic situations within the communities where your stores are. And so what's ended up happening is sort of this interesting dichotomy where head office believes in the product or service. And when you go to the actual store and you deal with the managers, there's this disconnect and discord that ends up happening because, in fact, the head office is completely crazy and has no clue what's going on the ground. And there's no way your product or service is going to be a successful fit. And the fallout from that is that you have a situation where a manager is being forced to take a product or service, pay for it, store it, whatever it is. And that can create, I'm going to say, a little bit of resentment because they are now being put in a situation which could affect their sales targets. It could affect their staffing. It could affect a whole bunch of things. And you walk in all merry sunshine because you've done this fantastic pitch and head office has given you the thumbs up. And meanwhile, that manager wants to rip you a new one. And so one of the cautionary tales that came out of this was understanding that when you walk into a store, especially if it is a situation where head office has made that decision, is understanding that the manager may not be as thrilled to see you as you are to see them. Having said that, you could walk in and everything's awesome and they're thrilled to death and their sales are going up and rah-rah. But what came out of this was if you're getting a bit of pushback, and you're not building the relationship with the manager that you expected based on the head office's actions, it might be time to take a little bit of a step back and go, okay, what's actually going on here? And have some questions ready to make sure that your product or service is a good fit. And why is that important? Well, you don't want your product or service not being promoted. You don't want it being shelved. And that can happen for a product or service. For a product in particular, if you're shipping certain amounts of your product and it's just sitting in the storeroom and not moving, that's inventory where you're losing money. And so it was a bit of an eye-opener for the member that went in and did this, the sort of disconnect with the internal politics that was going on. And she was trying to find ways to navigate this and to make sure that, you know, she was still building strong relationships and meeting the goals that they had set, but being respectful of the fact that her product was not going to fit in every single store that the head office thought it could. And so one of the things that came out of that for me was, if you're in a situation where your product or service has been placed in stores and or placed anywhere, and head office has made this decision, and you're on the ground and going and checking up and talking to people, and you're finding out that that's not exactly the case, the cool thing is, this is an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity to collect the feedback from the manager and any floor staff who might be involved, and maybe it's time to develop a different product line. Maybe you make a smaller version, a less expensive version. Maybe you, I don't know. I mean, it depends on what you're doing. But I would see this as an opportunity. There can be a way to make this work. And by doing that, and by showing that you're listening to the manager and that you're understanding that a change needs to happen, you're building a stronger relationship with that person. And if you come back with this new product or service that's specifically designed for their demographic, they're gonna appreciate that. And I'm not suggesting that you spend thousands on R&D and do it specifically for that store. You're obviously going to have to figure out if this is, say for an example, you've been put into 20 stores and, you know, seven of them are having an issue and it's consistent and it's something that you could address with a single change or product development, I think that's worthwhile. If it's one, no, I'd pull your product out and say, thank you so much. This obviously isn't a good fit. But if it's 7 out of 20, I think there's some room there to do some strategic development and talk to your team and see what you can do. So even though you're coming up against this disconnect between the head office and the manager, I would turn it into an opportunity. And if that manager has the time, ask them. So, you know, I trust your opinion. And what do you think would fit better with your clientele? You know your people better than I do. And that can be a huge thing that could open up new markets for you and new opportunities that you never even considered. The other thing that came up is that within certain industries, there are some practices that happen that you don't necessarily realize are going on. And this is probably more within the food and beverage industry, I'm going to say, just based on our conversation. And it's just stuff that we as consumers would not expect. You know, there's a little bit of grift. I think it's called grift going on where, well, if you want us to carry your, we're going to say gin. If you want us to carry your gin exclusively, then, okay, well, you're going to have to throw us some coin and sponsor the menus or something, which is really kind of weird. I don't know. I don't know the food services industry as well as I should. I have worked in it. I worked at Cultures. I worked at Swiss Chalet. But I was always front of house. I never got involved with, you know, the back end management situation. But it never would occur to me that that's what could be going on. So it was understanding that. And what we talked about in concerns with that is your moral threshold. So if you as an established business or more importantly, I think a new business, haven't had that discussion with your team and yourself, maybe it's time to sort of take a look at your moral compass and go, okay, how far are we willing to go? Are we willing to pay for, you know, some kind of rooftop installation? Are we willing to sponsor menus? Are we willing to do those things in order to get our product and service within certain establishments that we want to get to? And I can't even begin to think of situations where it could be even worse than that. I have a pretty strong sense of right and wrong and where I'll go and where I won't go. And I've let business go because I'm just not willing to cross that moral threshold. I don't have a huge payroll. I don't have massive overhead. I'm not in a situation where, you know, a ton of people are depending on me and the decisions that I make. So when you're in that situation and it's potentially a pressure or crisis reaction, I think it's really important to have things in place where, again, you know how far you're willing to go to make the sale. And part of that is also the ability to empower your salespeople who will be going up, you know, against managers who may not agree with the placement of the product or service within their stores. And, you know, how far are they able to go, the sales staff, to make the managers happy? And we also discussed building an element of community into your product or service. And one of the things that I thought was, if it's possible, especially with your food and beverage industry, it would be dead easy, is, you know, every 3 months, talk to one of your, and we'll go with this example. So if you have a roster of restaurants, every 3 months, talk to them about hosting a small event that highlights your product, but also brings people into their restaurant. You're both using your own contact lists. You're generating some buzz. You're creating a sense of community for people to come in, get to know each other. They immediately have something in common, which is your product, and they can foster some relationships on their own. You never know. And then it can become a thing. People get used to the fact, I mean, it's going to take a little while, but they get used to the fact that every 3 months you're going to pop up in a new restaurant. You're going to offer a certain type of event, and they're going to look forward to that. It does take time, but it's worth doing, and it's worth creating that sense of community. And I know there's the ability to build that online, but I think people grow too dependent on that online conversation. It will never replace face-to-face, you know, and my business is communications. I tell people to talk online and share online and what have you. Would I ever say that that replaces face-to-face events and conversations? Absolutely not. And I just wrapped up Spark the Change Toronto, which is a two-day international conference that I help run. And it's incredible to watch the conversations and hear the things that go on that just could not happen on simply an online platform. So I've seen it firsthand. I've been doing events for 10 years. I've watched what happens when people who have met online come together face to face, and the different level of connection and the level of commitment is incredible to behold. So a couple of the last things that we discussed at Ballsy, just regarding business and business development and whatever, was each of us, without knowing, had been doing some personal purging, which is just, you know, getting rid of clothes that don't fit and crap that's been sitting around your house forever and a day. And that got me thinking about the fact, you know, do businesses build purging into their yearly schedule? So do you sit down once a year, twice a year, whatever works for you, and review everything from policies and procedures to event schedules to learning opportunities to staff to personal development, all kinds of things, and say, hey, all right, we tried XYZ this year. X and Y were awesome, but Z sucked. So, you know, maybe we need to give that the heave-ho. We've been managing certain situations this way for the last couple of years, and we're noticing a stagnation in growth, or we're noticing some pushback from employees. Okay, we need to look at that. Do we fix that internally? Do we hire somebody? Like, what do we do to fix that? And I think the death of some businesses is when they just keep going along with the same policies and procedures for years on end and don't realize that they're completely missing the boat. They either, you know, don't examine their attrition rate, or they don't examine the decline in sales, and they just figure, well, it worked before. It's just a downswing. It'll pick back up. That's not the case. If you don't sit down and evaluate how you're doing business, who you're doing it with, how you're managing those relationships, how you're managing your staff, it's really detrimental. And I highly recommend that, you know, there's spring clean and then there's something else. Do a spring clean of your business. And summer, for most businesses, unless you are summer dependent, like a landscaping business or pool maintenance or whatever, is a perfect time to do that. To have a sit down with your hire management, and then have an event to kick off the summer with all your staff, and use that as an opportunity to gather feedback and have hopefully an open and honest communication about, hey guys, what's working for you? We tried this year. what isn't working for you, and do that spring clean and say, okay, that's not going to work anymore. Let's replace it. Let's have something that we're going to try and measure and implement and move forward with that. So it was a really interesting parallel between personal purging and that urge every year, I get it anyway, to unload junk that doesn't work anymore, and the same thing for your business, always worthwhile. There was an interesting point made at Spark the Change as well, we'll just tie up with the business plan and the purging, is if you're finding a stagnation with your staff or a high attrition rate, that maybe it's time to take a look at your business plan again and see if you built any type of learning into your business plan. And one of the reasons I say that is, for me anyway, I'm an ongoing personal development learning kind of person. And if I were in a business that never offered that, I'd lose my mind. And the first time I heard it, Lauren Waldman is the learning pirate. And she offered that insight. And I never thought about including that into my business plan. So with all of these things that we're talking about today with Ballsy, with the unexpected, you know, politics and backdoor politics with businesses and all that type of thing, one of the things that might be useful, in addition to your seasonal purge, is building that learning opportunity. And that could be as simple as every couple of months you bring your sales staff together and ask them to share their experiences. I'm going to be talking this week about Made to Stick by Chip Heath and Dan Heath. Awesome book. And they talk about the ability for people to learn from real life stories. And bringing your staff together and saying, okay, you know, is anybody coming up against a certain issue and how are you handling that, and getting feedback from somebody, is the main reason that Ballsy exists. When you operate in a vacuum and you've only got your own brain to feed you answers, I think you end up with a real lack of growth and a real problem going on for your business. And so having listened to Lauren and including that in your business plan, there's a huge opportunity not only to review your business policies and do some purging, but to add some opportunities for learning, to check in with your staff about their moral compass and anything that they've come up against that they weren't sure how to handle, and to move forward with a lot of other stuff, you know, disconnect and building that elements of social and taking advantage of opportunities, all about learning. Anyway, that's it for today. I hope you're having a fantastic day. If you have any questions about business, pop them in the comments. Would love to hear from you, and I'll see who I can find to answer it if it's not me. Coming up on Across the Desk, again, will be Made to Stick with Chip Heath and Dan Heath. I'm going to be doing a little retrospective on Spark the Change Toronto because it was completely freaking awesome and just learned so much. I'm just in the process of taking care of all the video, so I'll get a chance to learn all over again. And that's pretty much it. I hope you'll check me out on Twitter, MCV Comms, and I'm on Facebook, MCV Communications. Not a lot on Facebook, got to tell you. And Instagram. But check it out. I hope you're having a fantastic day, and we'll talk soon. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Across the Desk. You can follow me on Twitter at MCV Comms, Instagram at MCV Communications, or visit mcvcommunications.ca to see where else I'm hiding out.